Happy New Year. Good morning, all. It's 2020, the first edition for 2020. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's Thursday, January 2nd. I'm Joyanne Haig, and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend, Michelle Brathwaite. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to all of the staff at VOB. So we are here. Thank God we made it. It's 2020, and I'm here, and I'm grateful. And I want to wish each and every one of you a healthy 2020, one full of wisdom. I'm not going to wish you money, because I believe with the health and the wisdom, you're going to get the money. So let's pray for health. Let's pray for safety. And all of the things that your heart desires, I pray that you get. But please remember that 2020 does not actually bring anything to you. It's actually, what are you bringing into 2020? So if you got some baggage that you had last year, leave it as lost luggage. Bring some new bags or no bags and into 2020, because it's really not about what the year can do for you. It's about what you can do for yourself, for your family, and by extension, for the country. And speaking of the country, congratulations to the organizers of We Gathering. Big turnout, huge turnout, and a good start for the year. And I pray that they continue in that vein in each parish. You know that they're going from parish to parish, and this month it's St. Lucie, next month it's St. Peter, and so on. In addition to that, one of the major projects coming off will be the replanting, the 1 million and more trees. So that's starting in a few days. Everybody get ready to start planting trees and recognize how important it is to our environment. And some of you may be thinking, well, you know, it's just a tree. No, it's not just a tree. It's life. It's just as important as water. It's important to take the carbons out of the atmosphere. It's important to make sure that we have enough trees for food security, for beautification, for various things. So listen out for when that's going to happen. It's pretty exciting. And let's see if Barbados can actually pull it off. I believe that we can. More than the million trees, it's in keeping with some other countries and a commitment that they would have made in an effort to improve the environment, in an effort to combat climate change. Always remember that even though that we don't contribute a lot to climate change as a small island, we certainly are on the receiving end of the effects of climate change, and we need to play our part. So get out there and plant some trees. Listen out to how it's going to happen, what kind of trees you want to plant, and make sure that we meet the target of more than the million. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning, Jaya.
Good morning.
All the best to you and yours for 2020.
And to you and yours.
Now, can you tell me who is the chief education officer in Barbados?
I know who's the acting chief education officer.
Who's the acting?
I believe it's Joy Adamson.
Now, I asked you that question because last month I saw a strange article in the paper. Mm-hmm. There was the transfer of a number of permanent secretaries. And I saw the chief education officer, Karen Best, listed as one of these people to be transferred.
Okay. And your point is?
Well, she was the chief education officer, so I don't know how she became a permanent secretary.
Well, I mean, you don't exactly born a permanent secretary. Eventually, you have various jobs, and sometimes you can find yourself into one of those jobs, which is a very important job, by the way. The PS has a huge task.
But with her background in education, I thought she would have been the most capable person, mm-hmm, or the most desirable person to hold the post of chief education officer.
Well,
with the changes proposed in education.
Well, I do know Karen Best, and I can say that she is a well-educated lady, and I'm sure she can fit into any area that she so chooses or the government puts her. I know she will do her best, and she will do a good job. That's my opinion.
All right, okay. All right, thanks for that, Jaya.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 5 after 10. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Sage.
Hello?
Yes, yes. Good morning.
Yeah, I thought I heard feedback. Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard you say just now that forget the baggage that you carried last year.
If it's bad baggage, let me rephrase that. If you had bad luggage that you can't repair, don't try to repair it in 2020. Just
wait. May I ask you why not?
Well, you know, if there are things in life that are not working for you and not serving you in a good way or those you care about, sometimes it's best to leave it alone.
Anyway, let me go on to what I was calling to talk about.
Okay.
I listened to the last calling program you all had, where Mr. Dave Ellis has been the host, the moderator of the show, and he had Professor Prasad, and then there was attorney at law, I can't recall his name, and on the line was Guy Murray, and they were discussing the what was good and what was bad for the year. And all I got out of that program, coming from Dr. Prasad, was that if the government did not do what they had to do, 10,000 people would have gone home. You know, he did not make mention of the fact that the experts, 6 months ago, their projection for 2020 was that it's going to be very sluggish growth in the world economy in the first 6 months of this year. But Mr. Prasad came on this program. I was painting a very pretty picture. And I was amazed, appalled that David Ellis did not invite an independent economist to come and give a different view on what Dr. Prasad was saying. Because, really and truly, you forget to tell us also that this year, you are going to see more people being sent home. And last year, most of the spending down at Christmas time was in the supermarket. And really and truly, the people in Barbados, they have bought their money, and they didn't do that extravagant spending. The other thing you get and say that it was a used crowd down at the known as St. Lucie yesterday. Apparently, you were not watching TV.
Well, I saw some video from some friends of mine that went down there, and we saw a lot of people in the latter part. From what I understand, hundreds of people in the latter part of the afternoon after lunch. So I don't know when the clips would have been taken to show on the news, but I do know that based on information I would have had from some friends of mine that went there, and I saw some video and they sent me some pictures and some kind of long off shots. I was like, okay, well attended.
I watched that to finish around 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. You watched it? Okay.
On TV. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was, I would say a good crowd, but mm-hmm. it was not no used crowd. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be careful that we get on the radio. We want to say that this thing was odd.
Well, it's all relative. I mean, I may think something is huge and you may think it's not that huge. For me, you know, I'm a short person, so anything that looks like, you know, is huge for me, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Glenn Murray.
Happy New Year, Glenn. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I hope you have a good beginning of the year and a good Christmas and whatnot.
Yes, I did. Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you. A couple of things, not directly related to what I had planned to talk about, but just came up in your previous callers. The first caller, let the caller know that a transfer is not a punitive measure of public service. You're going to be transferred laterally across the board. You will receive your same compensation, your same perks, etc.
Mm-hmm.
There's no diminution of status, or you can have a promotion as a transfer as a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And as if Miss Best was a chief education officer, if she's acting permanent, say it's a promotion for her to go from,
of course,
chief right to promotion her, and while that might have been her area of
expertise,
emphasis for many years, mm-hmm. The point is that people are supposed to have skills, other skills, management skills, and once you have the thing about education is, once you have the skills of analysis and how to implement, how to do things, those skills can be applied to any area. Like, for example, a good engineer can become a good manager because they know certain principles. You transfer skills across the area, wherever area you are, you take those skills with you and you can make a success on it. So it's not necessarily a negative thing about Miss Bess, and of course, a promotion is not generally regarded as a negative thing. So I don't think there's anything really to worry about in Mrs. Best's case. And what it does is the thing about the bureaucracy is that you have an institution. If you have a chief educator, you also have a deputy. Ms. Joy obviously said it's the deputy, so therefore she's acting. That'd be a promotion for her. So that's why the institution goes on and going on. People, it's the posts and not the people that really matter, right?
Okay.
On the other hand, the other thing is that the discussion on the attendance at River Bay yesterday, I saw the television shows, but I also listened to the media, I think VOB, and I read in the paper. I heard it's either some people are saying the 4,000, 5,000 people. That's the figure for being here, that being tossed around. So that should help give it some kind of focus. That's a large or medium or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm calling about primarily, to start with, is I got a couple of calls this morning and some over the weekend and some over Christmas about an issue which when national insurance specs do not go to some person. And apparently, they were told, when people called and made inquiries, they were told that they had trouble with the printing. But certainly if you had trouble with the printing of national insurance checks, which are standard checks come out in 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, two at a time, certainly the NS had a responsibility to inform the public, particularly at Christmas time, when everybody's waiting on money.
Mm-hmm.
And they expect that money to contribute to how they no matter how minimal, to their enjoyment of Christmas and New Year's and whatnot. And I'm very disappointed that the NIS did not deem it fit to make an announcement. They have a customer service department which is headed by people who have had experience in the media. And by now, the NIS has been around since 1967. Certainly, when things are late, give a public service announcement. Let people to know that you have a list and the reason for it, and that it will be rectified as soon as possible. At least let them know, not let them keep it. People call me to me that we had on the postman every morning, and every morning the postman came. No check. No
so
check,
nothing came for in time for Christmas
for Christmas.
And is it did they get the checks now for the New Year?
No.
Still not waiting.
Two called me this morning. Said they saw the postman, and there was no check. I'm sure if this had been drawn to the attention, I'm sure given by his performance so far, Ian Goodenberg, who's the chairman, if he had known about that, he would have taken a step to at least inform or get it done or get it rectified. But this not printing of checks seems to be a fairly common occurrence, fairly regular. It's not a rare occurrence with the NIS. And maybe the NIS needs to look at its printing system, its computer system, and change it if necessary, rather than have it corrected or fixed or so-called, serviced, and then the same custom reoccurs. But the point is, if there's a problem, let people know what to expect. Because furthermore, the acting director was on the radio and in the press over Christmas period when they had a Christmas function,
mm-hmm.
talking about how they've been able to reduce a massive reduction in the backlog of benefits to people. Very impressive, very good. So if you can take, and I remember Chairman Aaron Goodness mentioned as one of the initiatives that the board had taken, instructed that this be done. So if you can have that printed, issuing a statement about the not printing of checks, it's a very straightforward matter. It's easier to do, and really, it's very disappointing that people have had to suffer, inconvenience, etc., maybe deprivation, and did not have a heads up on it, and worse yet, did not weren't told anything about it. That is something
and the inconvenience then over the holidays when people would want a little bit more, buy their the ham and the turkey and stuff like that. And the other thing, Glenn, too, I want to raise now, you're talking about NIS. I know we had this conversation last year. I would like to bring it into 2020, is the non-contributory pension and what is going on with that and how is it determined? Because there are a lot of people still falling through the cracks regarding the getting pension and they don't get anything. And I know there's an argument, but if they worked, then they should have. But we're talking, I think, pre-67, would have found themselves working when pensions came about. And some domestic workers may not have necessarily put in. People had a job 2-3 days a week.
Right.
And right now, they're in their late 60s, turning 70, so a few of them. And I think something needs to be done there. We need to be able to get a database, find out exactly how many, and see what we can do. And similarly, when we're talking about persons, there are some situations that are going on where the welfare department too, where welfare may stop and a person is disabled, physically right. challenged and cannot work. Right. And they stop to review it. And I'm thinking, if a man is an amputee and he is not working, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if maybe he played the lottery, maybe he won the lottery. I don't know, you know. But for me to sit and hear something like that, I believe that we need to look into that, because once it is established that you can no longer work, and we're not talking about disability pension, we're talking about persons on the welfare system, and they cannot, and to be able to review, and then the time that they take to review.
Yeah.
You know, and that little period between
that
there.
Is something. That whole question of the disability allowance and or whether it was a pension, I had hoped, if I had the opportunity to raise it with Advisor Prasad last time we spoke on Tuesday when David hosted the program, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But that didn't come up. But the point is, this is the kind of issue that I thought the person mentioned about, you mentioned people not getting the pension, but still when you listen to, I know, let me say this first of all. I thought it was a very useful discussion I had, Advisor Prasad, because it gave me a greater insight as to why certain things are happening, or why certain things are doing or not being done. Mm-hmm. Because I was flabbergasted. I was aghast at the oversimplistic, and I used to say even dangerous nonsense that Advisor Prasad put forward, to the fact that the ministers are too busy at their desk to talk to the press, to deal with people.
I heard that part. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I actually heard that part, yes.
It blew my mind. I've never heard such nonsense in my entire life yet in any way.
Well, I don't know if he actually said they were too busy. Maybe he did, but I'm saying that he did say that they're getting the job done, and in other words, there's no time to communicate when they're busy doing, but
the government came into office talking about transparency and information and keeping the public involved and engaging them and whatnot. So how can you? They're contradictions.
Well, I'll be honest with you. He did, in his defense, and I don't know the gentleman, but I listened a little bit. He is not a politician. No one voted for him.
He's anybody.
No. But what I'm saying is that
advisor to the prime minister, government has to know.
He's financial.
He's an international presenter and communicator. He's one of the government. He's government's front person who goes on top early or first to present their case to various institutions. Mm-hmm.
So no, I'm not defending what he said. I'm just trying to say that when you have experts coming in speaking on specific things. And his thing is finance, not PR.
But he talks on every other thing. He did not come there to speak. He came to speak about the government's performance. Mm-hmm. And he did a very good job reciting well-known information, blah, blah, blah. And he just recited in a power-like fashion. Mm-hmm. He did a great job on that.
Let me ask you before I forget, because I didn't hear the whole thing. Did he mention the online payments with the credit cards? Because there were still some questions that I have, and a lot of people have on that. Did they mention the credit cards on that show?
No,
I think we need a separate discussion on that, because that needs further clarification.
But what I gathered from all of that, based on what he said about too busy to communicate to deal with the press, you talk about press conference, the need for press conference, the need for minister to come out and communicate regularly, etc., and be crazy with the press, etc. Mm-hmm. He said too busy doing the job to do that, which does not make sense. But secondly,
you give him points still, because you said there were things that he explained that you felt that were clarified in the way that it should have been, correct?
Yeah, he conceded that. He conceded that there were things right.
Okay.
But the point is, worst of all, mm-hmm. he made the point about it was being too busy, and then there was the question about the errors. And because in the past, the past government had been criticized justifiably so by the public and by the ruling party for an implementation deficit. I had mentioned some months ago, after what has been happening, a series of missteps and mistakes and back retracting, that we were witnessing implementation disorder. He is saying that they know they will make mistakes and they will come back and correct them. But I'm saying that, first of all, we were promised a better. I know that people make mistakes and errors will be committed, but these are errors which can be foreseen. The errors which can have been prevented or minimized if people had followed established procedure protocols. But this idea that you're almost trying to think because you're in a hurry, because you have a crisis. When the person goes in the an ambulance and goes in the QAS as the emergency, the doctors, the surgeons say, this is the emergency. If you make a mistake, it's all right. Be corrected. It is not. You're looking for perfection.
I don't know. That's a good analogy with a person's life again.
Because everybody is doing their job, and while mistakes will be taken, you try to minimize them or eliminate them. You don't make allowance.
You can never eliminate mistakes.
Mistakes. I said that mistakes will be made. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying with the rolling out of the sanitation trucks. Mm-hmm. There were errors made in that whole process and promised them that should not have been done.
May I say something on that? Let's look at it in two ways. I don't know, so I can. I'm going to assume. All right, the trucks came. The bigger picture is the trucks are here. Correct.
So it doesn't matter.
No. I did not say that. Let me finish. The bigger picture is the trucks are here. If someone knew that they needed retrofitting, which I would like to sit here and believe that someone knew, I, as a communications person, and you didn't communicate it, I think the error was, or possibly was, because I'm not sure exactly what took place behind the scenes. However, the trucks are here, and that's the bigger picture I'm looking at. If it is that you needed to retrofit your trucks and you made a statement that the trucks will be on the road by midday the next day, sometimes one may think that with the retrofitting might be able to get it done and get it out on the road at that time. Hence the reason why maybe it wasn't communicated. However, to ease all of this big conversation. It's not an apology. I'm going to the other side of the coin here now. Okay, I pull it one way, I'm going to bring it the other way. If it is that you knew and you had communicated it to the public, we have the trucks, but here's what's going to happen. We're going to have to retrofit the seats and we're going to have to move the side things from to the back, and we're going to need another day or two. If that was the case and they had communicated that, there would not have been all of this fallout regarding the trucks.
But there's a wider issue beyond that. Mm-hmm. We are dealing with process and procedure. The process has to, if you start wrong, you end wrong. The process, the whole question of this truck and waiting, based on what process matters, listening to Advisor Professor, it was like, okay, process matters, but as though I'm not saying they have, but I got the impression that there's an thinking that you can avoid well-established, proven procedures, proven over time, certifiable, verifiable, that have worked for generations in Barbados, which have helped us to see Barbados see the level of development, have the reputation for being well-managed. To the point that one time, Prime Minister Gonzalez said that Barbados is the best-managed black country in the world. We are accustomed to high management and bringing trucks and buses and lorries and arms. Is nothing new to Barbados.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think happened? What do you think happened behind the scenes then?
What I think? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Exactly.
I'm not sure.
Exactly. I'm not sure. That is my point. We don't know.
But what I know, certainly from my work as an employee in government, and certainly having been a member of CAM, that there is a procedure. Forms follow function. If you follow the procedure, you're likely to get the results at the end that you're looking for.
But you can have a procedure that might not be correct.
Pardon?
You can have a procedure that may not be correct, may not be efficient,
but a procedure
or effective.
The point, listen, I know a lot of procedures that people like to say that a lot of procedures we have are old-fashioned. position in public service and antiquated, but you're not replacing them by anything else. But people are doing things, ignoring the history, the well-established proven procedures that have worked in the past, all I'm saying, and this seems to be what is happening. That is why you talk about, you are learning from mistakes. A mistake should be the last thing on your mind, because if you follow the procedure, if you're trained and follow the procedure, if you listen to your expert, if you seek advice, you will get an idea as to how well to do it. And this is nothing new for Barbados, you know. There's nothing new for Barbados. This is new territory. This is not going to inventing anything. We are simply, there are procedures, there are laws in Barbados that govern the acquisition of goods and services on behalf of government.
Well, okay, and well, great.
If you follow that procedure, all the things related, we would keep doing what, of course, they have to be amended and updated and made more efficient.
But let me just say this in all fairness, right? In all fairness, and we all should know better. I put out, because you call me, I sound like an apologist, that's what you said. Yeah. However, no. I give two possible scenarios. It's either you knew the trucks needed retrofitting or you didn't know. The point is, they know other option. Is option A, you knew. Option B, you didn't know. If option A, you knew, you should have communicated it to the public and give yourself some leeway. If if we don't know exactly what happened, we can't sit here and say that the procedures and they're this and they're that and they weren't followed. Because I don't know if they were. They might have been followed, but they probably were not the right procedures. I don't know.
If they had been followed, tell me some of the things that Barbados brought in. We brought in scanners. In Barbados, a certain procedure we followed. We brought in $1 million equipment in Barbados, okay, and all of a sudden the procedures don't work. You're going to abandon.
But again, was the correct procedure in place? I don't know. But
you're right. You're right there, because if the inspection had been done, if people had gone and see the vehicles.
Well, one thing I'll tell you this, you need to include your staff, and I've always said that. Sanitation workers should have seen some sort of join and set up as to what they'll be driving. I agree with that for sure. Right. We include our workers. But Glenn, we do have to take a break. I want to thank you so much for your contribution as always. We'll be back.